Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
They might talk about humor, music, film, books, football, and box sets, exercise, and maybe even food. Trivia and sport, politics and health, sometimes well-being too. On the Life with Brian. On the Life with Brian.
Hello and welcome to Life with Brian. Mark here, and with me I've got the main man, Chucky.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning.
As always, Matthew Christ is here as well. Sorry we don't have a nickname for you yet, Matthew, but how's it going?
It's very well. I mean, Brian has got a couple of nicknames for me, but it's just whether he decides to reveal them to our public. But for now, I think we'll keep them as a secret, don't you?
And just talking about nicknames, as we've mentioned beforehand, Viv has always had a unique nickname for me. He's the only one that's ever calls me. What do you call me, Vivian?
I call you Lucha Fix.
Yeah.
Tis I, Leclerc. And I lost money. I lost money with him, and I bet on what was going to be number one in the charts. Kirsty McCall, wasn't it? Kirsty McCall, was it? What was the song?
Fairy Tale New York.
He came in one day and said, "This is going to be number one." I went, "Shut up, will you?" He said, "I'm telling you, it's going to be number one. Fairy Tales of New York." And it got slowly higher and slowly higher. And we had a bet on it. I can't remember what the bet was. It wasn't much money. We didn't have much money in them days. And it got higher and it got higher. I went, "No, it can't get to number one." It was a half-decent song, but I didn't think he'd get to number one. Yeah, he's lived on that for years.
Did he pay you, though? That's the thing.
God, no chance. No chance.
The voice of Viv is our guest for this episode, and it's former Nottingham Forest, Arsenal, and, of course, Manchester United defender, not to mention the man that joined Manchester United on the same day as Brian, Viv Anderson. Viv, thanks very much for coming along. How have you been?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, we came together. But alphabetically, I win. So I'm trying to say, who was Alex's first side?
I've always said that.
I saved me.
Who was the first one to put pen to paper, though? I think it was Viv.
I wouldn't have a clue, honestly.
One of the things about that day that we got on really well from the very beginning, for some reason, you know, despite the fact that of Viv's dislike of the Scots, and that we had both had the same suit on. Do you remember?
No.
Yeah,
listen,
remember last week.
I don't remember what happened yesterday, not 20 years ago.
Well, I remember it. We both had the same suit from Slater's.
Oh, I remember going to Slater's. Yes, it's all coming back to me now, Brian. Well done.
Both had exactly the same suit, only in slightly different sizes.
Yours was an extra large and mine was a very small one.
Is this in that famous promo shot of you and Fergie and Viv being revealed?
That's it must right. be because it's we didn't.
And every picture you see.
Had one suit.
And every picture you see, it's in black and white.
Yeah, I thought that. We were trying to find a picture of it. And it looks like it's from the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. George Best and Bobby Charlton was next door.
Viv, everyone remembers you playing. And your outstanding playing career, but what are you up to these days?
I have a company called Play On Pro, where Brian, I think, is an ambassador. We've got 560 ambassadors of all sports. We're talking about cricket, football, rugby, men and women. What we're trying to do, when post-retirement, what do they do? There's only a certain amount of managers' jobs, certain amount of coaches' jobs, punditry jobs. What do the rest of them do? Over 1,000 players will retire this year. And what do they do? So we have a company called Play On Pro. We have an app for them. And we give them things like, you know, hotel rooms. We get a discount on suits. We get, talk about suits. We could get you a suit, McClare. All different things like that. Things they take for granted they used to do when they were playing. So, you know, they get free this and free that. And it's a way of communicating with one another. And people, you lose contact. Somebody was in the office the other day, and I said, he's just retired about a year ago. And I said, how many ex-players have you got on your phone? And he looked, and he said, 4. So you go to a club, then you have a few bets, but you never contact again. With this, with the app, you can speak to people that you've not seen for 20 years. There's a lad called Steve Hodge, who played for England, who did that famous back pass that Maradona scored. He came on, and a lad called Kevin Gallen. They played together at QPR. They both came on the app. It's like yesterday. So it's a way of keeping the camaraderie. We try and get them work. That's the idea of Play On Pro, and get them work and get them keep them involved in anything we're doing.
Jockey's choice. Jockey's choice.
Brian, should we crack on then? What's been on your mind since we last convened for the last episode?
Well, what's been on my mind, or what I've seen, is lots of different articles by someone that we've just been talking about on the day that Viv and I first met, that's got the similar middle name to Vivian, and that's Alexander Ferguson, who has, it's a movie. It's not just a documentary. It's more than a movie. There's been lots of things written about him. He's been involved in lots of books and various other publications. But this new movie's come out that has quite a it hits you right away with the way that it starts, because it starts with the call to the emergency services on the day that he collapsed at home 3 years ago. So it's quite a powerful start to a film about his career. And having spent an awful lot of time with him, there's a lot of stuff in it that for me was incredibly interesting. I think it's the first time that I can recall, certainly on film, Kathy saying anything at all, Gaffer's wife, you know. So the idea really seems to be to keep it to a very, very small number of people making comment and allow Alec Ferguson to dominate the film and what he has to say and what his thoughts are. I think I was intrigued to say that the scariest thing, and might always be maybe it's the scariest thing for a lot of people, is that his memory, that was he was banging on about his memory, he's to be really upset, maybe devastated that if his memory had gone, that might have been potentially worse than death, and that he couldn't remember. You know, they didn't particularly specify what sort of things he couldn't remember, or he was scared of not remembering. But so it is certainly something for me that I've always been amazed and astounded with, you know, that one of about 5 years ago I went to see him, and he was giving me a row about something. And part of the row just related to the date, the month and the year of my birth. And I'm like, that's just like pretty impressive how the number of players that he's dealt with, and probably the number of ones he's been interested in and he's never signed, and all the players that he's studied as opponents that he could remember my birthday, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we it's worth saying we had a preview viewing of this this week, and so me myself, yeah. Brian and Mark. So I'm not sure if you've seen it, Viv, but I mean, it's a fantastic film. It shows his life growing up in Glasgow and as a young player, and then obviously right up to his time at United, culminating in the 99 European Cup final. I don't know what your thoughts on it, Mark, but I mean, what the thing that struck me most was the sort of the behind the scenes footage that we were treated to, particularly at the end. The bit that I really liked was that 99 final, when it showed those famous last two or three minutes, and it didn't show any of the action. It just purely focused on the bench and what was going on, the sort of mayhem, the chaos, the celebrations, then the tactical rejigging of the team for those last few minutes. I thought that really was powerful without actually showing anything other than just human reaction. That was the standout for me, was that footage, and particularly the clip of him in his office singing and being full of the joys of spring.
It's not singing.
No, was it wind?
No, it's terrible. I mean, I can't sing, I know that. It's terrible.
I've not seen it. I've seen the trailer where he's talking about one of the directors pulls him, see if he's marrying a Catholic or Protestant. And he said, I'm getting married in a register office. And he said, that's fine. So I thought that was a bit strong as well. So I'd be interested to see that.
There's a bit in where he's talking about a sliding doors moment, you know, I don't know if you remember that film. Anyway, it's a film about how things can change in your life. It depends on which path you choose and how life can change so dramatically and differently. Right. Now, for him, there was a moment in 1963 where there's a couple of things happened. He was pissed off with football. He thought it was going nowhere. And he'd taken out papers to emigrate to Canada. Right. Now, that would have had a huge difference to all our lives, of course. Right. And also that he was going to be playing a game for St Johnstone on the Saturday. And he admitted he'd kind of gone off the rails a little bit, and he'd been going out, and he was going to go out, or he was heading out on the Friday, and he got his brother's girlfriend to pretend that she was his mother and phone the manager and tell him that he was poorly. The manager of St Johnstone, he was poorly, couldn't play in the game. And when he got back home, the manager had sent a telegram to his mother saying, I know that wasn't you on the phone, tell her, little bastard, to phone me right away. He might not use that line. He wouldn't use that line. I was telling him, but that was the essence of it. And he went along the telephone box, and he used put a tissue over his mouth and coughed and sneezed and all that, pretending he was poorly. And he said to him, you better be at the Buchanan Street Hotel tomorrow, or else you're... And he went to the Buchanan Street Hotel in Glasgow, where he was told he was going to be playing for the first team at Ibrox versus Rangers. So he goes along, makes his debut at Ibrox, and the score is Rangers 2, St Johnstone 3, Ferguson hat-trick.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Talking of fearsome managers, Viv, as Fergie is one of, certainly. Before you joined United, you played under a couple. Brian Clough, of course, and George Graham at Arsenal. I mean, was that something that stood you in good stead for the years under Mr. Ferguson?
Yeah, they were very, very similar, I must admit. They took no nonsense. They played football in the right way. And you respected him. And Brian would back me up there. If Sir Alex said, go through that wall, you would go through that wall, you know. And Brian Clough was exactly the same. I always remember a quote from Larry Lloyd and Kenny Burns. Kenny Burns always used to get the thumbs up from Cluffy like that. And Larry Lloyd always wanted him to go like that to him. Just once. Not all the time. Just once to show that you've done well for me today, son. And he never got it. You know, so he always kept him on his toes. And he kept everybody on his toes. So he was a really good manager. But everybody tries to compare them. And I go, it's very difficult. You know, Sir Alex has won all the things he's won. And, you know, but I remember it started off at Forest and we used to go down the training ground and we used to get the cows off the training ground before we could train. You know, that's how primitive it was. And there were 19,000 average gate and they managed to win back-to-back European Cups. So, you know, it's a great feat he did. And he had a good set of players around him. But Sir Alex is just unbelievable.
So did his training methods differ from Clough at all?
Listen, Sir Alex hasn't got any training methods. You know, he got other people to do the training and Brian Clough was exactly the same. Anytime the manager says, I'm taking the training session, everybody would go, no, please not. It was that bad, you know. They earn the money, these boys we talked about, they earn the money from 3 o'clock to 4:45 or whenever you play. That's when they earn the money, when they take people off, they cajole people, they put the arm bound people, they bollock people. That's when they earn their money.
Was Archie Knox as ferocious as we're led to believe? In the film, he jokes that there wasn't a good cop, bad cop situation, just two bad cops. So is it possible that the right-hand man is more ferocious when it comes to Fergie and Archie?
No, I don't think. I'll tell you the first. You play in that game. We joined. And we played Hartlepool in the pre-season. Did you play in that game? Well, I can tell you the team. I think it was Chrissy Turner in goal, me right back, Paul McGrath and Kevin Moran, Arthur Orbiston, Gordon Strachan, Brian Robson, Norman Whiteside. I think Jesper played left wing. You up front with Sparky? This was Hartlepool's away.
Sparky would have been there.
In the pre-season.
Peter Davenport?
Was it? whoever played. And at half-time, we were 5-0 down. And that's the first time we saw him go berserk. Teacups, everything thrown in your face, hot tea and everything. And he'd go round individually. Think you're a Manchester United player. Yeah, Manchester United player. And he's going down the line because you're 5-0 down against Hartlepool, who have just come out of the conference. We're in the fourth division or whatever they were. And he gets to Paul McGrath, and Paul McGrath says, are you going there, Chuck? Paul McGrath said, you no need to point. I'm only here. And we all went, no, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because his veins were sticking out his neck and he was going around everybody telling you, and it goes to Paul, and Paul goes, what? And subsequently, Paul left about 6 months later. But they're both love football and they love to play the game properly, as I want to say it.
So, seeing as you joined United on the same day, did you find yourself coming together as mates in the face of adversity, having to come into the frying pan, so to speak, of Fergie's world? And did you have each other's back?
We shared a hotel. We were in the hotel together for a good while before we found houses and everything else. So we'd go together, go to training together. So, yeah, we became mates that way. We'd have a few drinks afterwards now and again.
Some things never change, eh?
No, that should never change. That's what's missing now.
Yeah, but it must have been okay because clearly that... even in those days, the gaffer knew everything. So there would be reports back to exactly what Viv and I were doing in the hotel, you know, from what we were eating and ordering, because I do recall that at the time that the food in the restaurant was pretty decent, you know, to any time that we were we'd go into the bar for a shandy. But one of the things that, again, they had this strange idea that... Well, maybe it wasn't strange. They decided that after 6 months at Manchester United that the players weren't fit enough. So they decided on this pre-season programme. And I don't know why, but all the under-25s which the group I was in had to be in on the something like the 7th of July, and all the over 25s, of which Viv was in that group, had to be to report a week later. And it was really, if you watch all this SAS survival stuff and all that, it was like that. It was just so difficult. So much so that I could hardly, when the lactic acid and all that set in, I could hardly move. And I could basically just got back from training to the hotel and just about managed to get to the hotel and lie down and maybe order some room service. Mm-hmm. And then after a week of all this torture, you start to feel a wee bit more human again. And Viv arrives on the Sunday for training on the Monday, and we're sitting having a chat over a shandy, and he said, "What's it like?" I said, "Oh," I said, I know I've not had as many pre-seasons as you've had, Viv, but this is really, really, really tough." And he's laughing.
I know what's coming.
You know, going, "Oh, I can't be that bad. You know, it's not, I'm saying, I'm telling you, it's not that bad." So we go on the Monday, we're doing on the Monday. Tuesday, Viv gets up, he's a wee bit, feels a wee bit gingery. I'm driving, drive to training, do the training on the Tuesday. And I said to Viv, "If we go back, right, we'll go and have a bit of lunch or something."
You got it.
He just went, "No."
Yeah.
Marshmallow pillows, crispy white sheets and marshmallow pillows. And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Crispy white sheets, marshmallow pillows." I never saw him till the next day. He came out of the room. It took him about 10 minutes to get from his room to the car. He's like, trying to bend down into the car, you know. And he goes, I believe you now. I cannot move. I can't do this. I can't do another day in this.
Listen,
I've made a mistake.
I had 10 years of Forest where
I've come to the wrong place.
You did what you like.
I should have stayed at Arsenal.
Didn't go on any runs or anything like that. You just had five asides. Went to the Arsenal. It was a rude awakening there because you went on 5-mile runs and all that the other. But coming to Man United, I went, this should be a piece. Should be a breeze. No chance. No. Training was never my forte, put it that way. I enjoy the games, but the training, nah. Unless you're playing five asides, forget it.
So what was it like under George Graham then? Because he had a pretty fearsome reputation. I mean, was he somewhere in between the two of the Clough and Ferguson, or was he a completely different kettle of fish?
He played football in a different way. George was, technical term, we as fullbacks, we had to push people inside. And I go, we had arguments all the time. I'm saying, I'm pushing people inside. And anybody, I can beat anybody in a straight run down the line. Nobody's going to beat me. He said, "I'm not bothered. I want you pushing inside. I want them pushing inside into midfield players or into centre-halves. I don't want them getting down the byline, getting crosses in, and somebody coming in between my centre-halves and scoring." And we had so many arguments, you wouldn't believe. But end up, we was the manager, so we did what he did. And we went on something like a 13, 14 game unbeaten run. And we came to Old Trafford. You played that day when Norman kicked Lumpsish out of it.
That was the year before, wasn't it? And that was that game was where Norman was. I mean, I watched that recently. Right.
And he was unbelievable. He should go to jail. Well, I mean, he should go to jail.
Tackles. Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought exactly. And who was it?
David Rocastle. He got David Rocastle sent off.
Was it did Rocastle launch himself at him?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he did properly.
Yeah, but he...
Aye, did he?
He provoked him.
But this is fierce intimidation. David launched himself.
Did he?
Like, it was just like, oof. And Norman just got up.
Yeah. And he was only 17 or something, David.
Yeah.
A lovely lad, honestly. And the ball's at the other end of the pitch. And Norman, and I said, "You got that young lad sent off." And he goes, "Hit me. I'd love you to hit me now." Honestly, the ball's down the other end of the pitch, and we're at the other end going and like that, face to face. And he's going, go on, hit me. I'd love you to hit me. Go on, hit me. I'm like that. But apparently, what Fergie saw that day for me playing, was Fergie the manager? Must have been.
Yeah, yeah. You had the fight. You nearly had a fight with him at the end of the
That's
game.
That's right. And he said when we met in the hotel in Nottingham, he liked the way I stood up to Norman Whiteside. I said, I won't be doing that again.
Because that game famously has been accused of being the precursor to the various rows that Arsenal and United went on in the subsequent years, which you were involved in, most of them, Brian. But you can't be blamed for this one because you weren't playing that day. But
weren't you playing that day?
He hadn't signed.
Because I wasn't signed. You hadn't signed. We signed in the same day.
But it's a different club.
What age did you say you were?
I'm at a different club. You're right.
What age did you say you were?
Famously, that game is on YouTube. I watched it, like Brian, the other week. I found a link to it, and you'll have to look it up, Viv, because it is brilliant. I mean, it's like a Wild West fight. Oh, it's like the Somme. It's some of the tackles are horrendous, but it's fantastic entertainment. Yes.
Who scored the goal?
Terry Gibson. Yes. Yeah.
Terry Gibson. Yes. Was it 1-0?
I think it was 2-0. For some reason, I'm thinking 2-0. It's 2-0. Yeah. Yeah.
I know we came there on a like 13, 14 game undefeated.
I think it was more than
you
that.
You may be right, Mike. Yeah. You may be right.
But yeah, the pitch didn't suit you.
The what?
The pitch.
The pitch.
Oh, so the beach.
Yeah.
The beach didn't
suit you. Yeah. But from minute one, Norma just went around kicking everybody.
Yeah, it's well worth finding if you can. We'll share the link.
Will you send me the link, please?
Send you the link because it's I unearthed it the other day. I think Brian actually sent it to me, and I was watching it, and I just found it hilarious because I remember the game, but it just looks like something from a different. Well, it was something from a different era, wasn't it? It was just completely. Yeah. It was a free for all. 86-87 season. So I think it was about
86-87.
I think it was what early in 87, was it, after Christmas sometime?
I came in 87.
Yeah, you came the following. So you made that much of an impact that Fergie signed you almost 3 months later.
Went to tribunal.
Yeah.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
So talking to managers, Mark, we've got a little game, haven't we?
Right, Viv, we've spoken about how you played under two great managers, Brian Clough and, of course, Sir Alex Ferguson, and both of them weren't shy in giving their opinion when asked. So we thought we'd test just how closely you were listening to them by reading you several quotes, and all you have to do is tell us who said that. And Brian, you're more than welcome to join in as well. So here we go. Matthew, take it away, please.
Okay, the first quote, and this one is, I only ever hit Roy the once. He got up, so I couldn't have hit him very hard. Now, was that Fergie or was that Clough?
Clough.
Brian's going Clough, even though it wasn't, the question was asked to Viv, but never mind.
It's a cliche, you could join in, I'm joining in.
I'll go the opposite.
Okay, so Brian, you're going Clough. Viv going Fergie.
I'm going to Alex.
It was actually Brian Clough on dealing with a young Roy Keane. Although I'm sure Fergie's felt like chinning Roy on a couple of occasions too.
I only recall the manager hitting a couple of people.
Oh, are you going to care to divulge?
No.
Be careful. Yeah,
I'm sure he's not listening, Brian. You can tell people.
No, yeah. No. There was plenty of things that was close to lots of things, but there was no, there was never any physical activity when I was at United.
Okay, well,
lots of close things, you know. So, but
next,
yep.
Okay, Viv, we'll let you can go first on this one, Viv. When an Italian says it's pasta, I check under the sauce to make sure they are the innovators of the smokescreen.
I'd say Clough.
Ferguson.
It was Alex Ferguson. Yes, it was. Obviously showing how suspicious he is about Italian footballers, which, to be fair, they are possibly the best ever to do the dark arts of football and mind games. Number three.
I'm having a nightmare here.
Did you know that one, Brian, or was it a guess?
No. I was reading about it recently in the toilet.
you know, because I've got a
too much information there, don't you think?
I've got a book of Alex Ferguson's quotes in the toilet that's sitting.
Now you tell us. All right, then let's see if you can get this one because
Look, I'm a student. I just love just reading stuff about football. It's the best thing, you know.
Well, let's see how you.
As if I didn't hear enough team talks, I've got to read the other fish that you've said as well. And...
Okay, so this is
2-0, Anderson.
I know.
Quote number three.
There's only one more question as well.
No, there is.
I know.
Right, come on. Quote number three. I'm not saying he's pale and thin, but the maid in a hotel room pulled back the sheets and remade the bed without realising he was still in it.
It's got to be Clough, that one.
Well, yeah, your answer's Clough. Brian, are you going to go the other way or are you going to play it safe?
I think that's Cloughy.
Okay. It was Clough, talking about former Forest winger Brian Rice, who was indeed very pale and very thin.
Have you seen him now?
No, but...
He's managing up in Scotland, isn't he?
Hamilton manager.
Yeah, he's put some timber on since then.
So the maid would notice if he was in the bed now, I assume.
Oh, what? Two beds?
Okay, Mark, you go on.
Yeah, we've got a fourth one. So
that's 2-1. He's back in the game. You can't count that one. I went first.
Oh, 2-1. No, it's you. They'll give you your miserable. Yeah, they'll give you.
Here we go. He should guide Posh in the direction of a singing coach, because she's nowhere near as good at her job as her husband.
Got to be Fergie, ain't it?
Fifth going Fergie. Brian?
Well, it was too easy, that, wasn't it? You know, there was no Spice Girls in the Nottingham Forest. Spice Girls, Spice Boys in the Nottingham Forest team.
But he always had an opinion, though.
Don't let him, don't persuade him, don't make him change his
What's
mind.
That was...
You're saying Clough, then, are you?
That was Fergie talking about Sporty Spice.
Well,
so you're both saying Fergie on this one.
Well, it was Alex.
I mean, this clearly, by you make a point of saying it, it's really, obviously it's by Clough now. You're both saying Fergie. I'll say it's Clough.
I don't know. I'll go for Fergie. I'm going for Fergie. I can't lose now. I'll just say the same answer as Viv.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying Fergie. Viv's saying Clough.
All right, I'll go Brian Clough then. The great Brian Clough.
Mark, put us out of our misery.
It was indeed Brian Clough dishing out some musical advice for David Beckham.
Oh, no.
He's back in the game. 2-2.
I tried to...
He got it wrong.
No, he didn't. He got it right eventually.
Dave, you got it wrong.
Look, we're going to say it's 2-2 because this is the fifth and final question, so it makes it interesting.
Right.
So question number five, or quote number
five. I'll go first. I'll go Viv to give Vivian Alexander a chance.
Okay.
Go on, then.
Quote number five. I remember the first time I saw him.
Cough.
I remember the first time I saw him. He was 13 and just floated over the ground like a cocker spaniel chasing a piece of silver paper in the wind.
Well, that was Alex Ferguson talking about Giggsy, but I'll say Brian Clough.
It's got to be Giggsy, hasn't it?
Well, if you both say Ferguson, it's a draw, which I think's a fair result. And
that's a fair result.
And the answer is Alex Ferguson. I'm seeing a young Ryan Giggs, and a fairly accurate description. I think you'll both agree.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, somehow it's a draw out of five questions. I think it's got 2.5 each. So
I'm happy with that.
We spoil it there.
I'm on Brian McClure's intellectual level. I like that.
I vividly remember the first time that I set eyes on Giggs. We were playing a practice match, and I looked at this kid and how skinny he was, and I thought, he doesn't look at all as if he's going to be able to cope with the rigours of professional football. And he's in the same team as me, and he picks up the ball inside our own half. And he immediately starts dribbling, and he goes past two players and sets off. And I set off from the halfway line, and I remember thinking, and he's running with the ball and I'm running without the ball, and I just managed to get into the box. And see, he crosses the ball, and I look across and I'm thinking, fucking hell, I don't think I'm going to have to. I can't play with this kid. He's far too fast.
Now, a bit to that story. You know that that game you were talking about, was that the cliff?
The cliff, aye.
Right. So, as he starts off that move, right, he nutmegs me.
All right. Right.
And then after he's gone and cost and everything else, I've got him at the halfway line and said, you do that to me, you little git. You won't be playing football again. True story. Yeah. Because we mixed up the teams, didn't we? And he came
mixed
and played.
Mixed up teams, aye. Mixed up teams.
He must have been 15 or something.
He was 17.
Was he? He was very, very young.
Of course, we all know who... Of course, we all know who provided the assist for his first ever United goal, don't we, Brian?
Viv?
No.
I never played for the same team. It was Brian Clough.
It was Brian Clough, yeah. No, it was you, Brian, against City, even though it looked like an own goal to me, but I think it was credited to Giggs at the time.
Mucklair's mailbag. Mucklair's mailbag. Mucklair's mailbag.
Let's do the mailbag then. Questions that involve both of you, actually. So we go straight in. This one's from our old mate, Cumbrian Dave, and this one's aimed at you particularly, Chockey. And he says, was winning the league championship in the last game against St Mirren in 85-86 for Celtic the most emotional and satisfying out of any of your trophy wins in your career?
There's not. They're all equal. That's what I'm saying. All of them as good as each other. I'm sitting here now looking a long way back on all those events. I'm so grateful that there were so many of them. And even some of the ones that were at the time not great, losing the FA Cup finals, losing the FA Cup final to Everton, which was quite interesting. There's definitely things that when I was fortunate enough to spend a little bit of time in Liverpool recently, and my travelling companion, while we were in the car, asked me, is there another team in Liverpool apart from Liverpool? Of which I thought, don't be mentioned wherever we're going, any Everton supporting establishments that may well serve the odd shandy. And then League Cup finals as well, where I 20 odd years after the game against Sheffield Wednesday, I'm still getting a proper hairdryer from Alex Ferguson for being responsible for Sheffield Wednesday's winning goal. I won't put one above the other. Wonderful to be part of, great memories, and great to be involved in things that are so memorable for the supporter that was there. And there's so many Celtic supporters that claim to have been at Love Street that day, particularly memorable because the game wasn't just in our control. That Dundee, who were managed by Archie Knox, had to beat Hearts, who had been unbeaten for a long, long time, and were probably the better team throughout the season, as a Celtic team that I was involved in, who won the league. We were on a run at the very, very end. Wonderful day, though, yeah, amongst several other ones.
Yeah, maybe not
including
the most emotional.
Including the one where I met Viv as well, you know. So that's
maybe
there.
Maybe not the most emotional, but certainly probably the most dramatic, I would have thought.
It was pretty dramatic, yeah.
And on that note, Sean McConville's asked you, and this is a bit of a out of left field. He says, if you could set that game to Love Street to music, what might it be?
Oh, Love Street to music. I would choose something like...
You come back next week?
I know. I'll be here all day.
Tune in next week. Same time, same channel.
Have you come up with an answer?
Rock and roll. It's only rock and roll, but I like it.
And the Rolling Stones. Hey!
Chockey mentions, he's mentioned to me in the past that you're a big Stones fan, Viv. Is that...
Massive, yes.
Yeah. Is that something that just stems back to your childhood, or what? What's the fascination?
He auditioned for the band.
Pardon?
You auditioned, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. I saw them. England played Scotland, and we stayed at Toon, and somebody said, oh, the Stones are playing in Glasgow. Do you fancy going? Oh, what? We all, about six or seven of us went behind backstage, met the boys. Fantastic. Pop legends.
Right, okay, well, we're going to come back to music in a little bit. This question is actually for you, Viv. It's from Tom Carroll, and he says, do I remember that Viv used to play wearing a specially constructed football boot for much of his career, and why?
I came from Arsenal, missed three games in 4 years, came to Manchester United, got a tackle on my heel, and it bled and turned into bone in my heel. So every time I put my foot down, I got a sharp pain in my foot. So they recommended that I go and see an orthopedic surgeon, and he created an inner sole that had a gap where the bone was. I had laser treatment. I had all sorts. So I did have a boot reconstructed. And I never trained throughout the week. I'd play on a Saturday. Wasn't the best of preparations, but that's the only way I could get through playing. But even now, they said, once you finish, you should get it taken out. And to this day, I've still got it in there, and it doesn't affect me at all now. But it showed, it was always, if they showed the x-ray, it was always glowing, so it's still active. And they were very reluctant to operate on the heel where it was and get it out. So they made me play on with all different things. So it's correct.
Yeah, well, it doesn't affect you now because you hop out to your Rolls Royce.
Crawl out to the Rolls Royce because my knees are knackered as well now.
Okay, so this one's from, I'm going to say it's Francis, looking at his Twitter handle. So Francis says, what age did you first get into music, and what band or artist were first to give you the wow factor? Now that's aimed at you, Brian, but I think we can both answer this one.
For me, I think it was from Mark. I think it was the early 70s and Sweet.
Really?
Blockbuster, Ballroom Blitz, Hellraiser.
Mine would be Brian Ferry and Roxy Music. No. It would be, I always remember we were apprentices together, myself and a lad called Tony Woodcock. And he said, we'll go into town. I'm going to get an album. Says, yeah, fine. So what's the album called? Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. I went, Barry, you are taking the mickey, aren't you? He said, who's got an album like that? A lad called David Bowie. So I went, nah. So he bought it, and then I listened to a bit of it, and then I bought it myself. So he was the first one. But I always remember as an apprentice, John Robertson, who Brian would know, big Scotland player, a fantastic lad. And I used to clean the dressing rooms, and he was always there talking about Roxy Music and Brian Ferry. And he used to look like him, he used to dress like him. And he said,
He didn't look like him.
He thought he did. He was little and fat, but he had his hair done like him and all sorts. But he thought he did. Spotted tie and all that. He had all that. But he had this mini. It's not the same. And he'd say, watch Top of the Pops tonight or Olga Russell test Roxy Music on tonight. You'll love him. So I like Roxy Music as well.
Brilliant. I never had you down as a glam rock fan, Brian.
Well, I was nine at the time.
There's nothing else to do in Scotland, is there? Let's be fair.
No. No, play football and watch Top of the Pops. That's exactly the game.
When you're nine, yeah.
Buy ice cream from Fred West.
Eat pebbles.
Next.
One more thing. Just go on to your time in management and about different players and different characters. And I was just thinking about something today was that yourself and Robbo when you were and Big Gordon when you were at Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Was there any particular going back to a quote I saw from Fergie the other day? He was asked if he was still able to manage now. And he said he still thinks he'd be Whitley Myers now, but he thinks that players are more fragile than they were when we were playing. With that in mind, it popped in my head about Gaza and how you and Gordon and Robbo managed him. Because to my memory, he seemed to be, only in the sense of what I saw on the football pitch, it would appear that was some of the happiest times he had as a football player. I don't know if that was reflecting on what you thought or not.
Absolutely, 100% right. He only came to life when he was on the football field. He could express himself. He could do. When he came to us, he was on the way down. We bought him from Rangers, and the boys loved him. And we were in the Championship then, trying to get in the Premiership, and we thought we'd buy him to give us the impetus to get up. But he was a great lad. Honestly, you know him. You meet him, he's a lovely lad. He'd give you anything. If you got 100 quid in his pocket, he'd give it you. He was that generous, you know, to his family, to his friends. He was a smashing lad. But he couldn't do the things that he knew what to do, but his body wouldn't be able to do it. And that frustrated him a lot, you know, especially when he came to our place, you know. He wasn't the best, you know, but... It's great to have him, you know. I thought we got the impetus that we wanted by bringing him in.
You don't hear anything from him anymore, I take it, do you?
I saw him in an England game not so long ago, and he looked well, you know. He looked quite healthy and lost a bit of weight and everything, and he looked a bit tanned, and I thought he looked really well. It's just a shame what he's been through. But he used to have pills to wake up, pills to go to sleep. You know, sooner or later, it's going to take its toll, you know. And we put him in the Priory, you know. Well, a great story. We'll finish on this one.
Was that sorry, like, just to explain then, Viv, that the Priory is a kind of
it's for addictions. So
people with addiction, yeah.
Yes, so it's in Manchester. So Robbo said, "Listen, we've got to get some help." So we got him in the Priory, and we'd leave at like 6 o'clock in the morning. To go to Middlesbrough, drive, and Rob was driving this time, and the phone goes. So I pick it up, and it's Gaza, 6 o'clock in the morning. Gaza? Yeah, Viv, yeah. Is the boss with you? I said, yeah. You want to speak to him? So yeah. So hand him over to Brian. His hand's free, so don't worry. And he says, "Boss, am I mad?" And Rob says, "Of course you're not mad, Gaza." He said, "Then why am I playing football with some nutter on the lawn in the Priory at 6 o'clock in the morning?" So some boy got to his room, shook him and said, "Gaza, do you fancy playing football?" And he went out with him on the lawn in the Priory. And he rang Rubble on the way with the assurance that he's not mad. True story as well. But he's a lovely lad, honestly. Even now, he's just a smashing fella. And I wish him well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we'll call time, gentlemen, please. Viv, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Especially being the first Englishman. I'm very honoured.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Thank you, Matthew, as well.
Thanks.
No problem.
Thanks, Viv.
Hit us up on Twitter at Brian McClare Pod. The mailbag is always open using the hashtag AskChalky. We are available everywhere in podcast land. You could say we're here, we're there, we're everywhere. And while we're at it, for all you Chockyholics, don't forget you can read Chockey's monthly diary over at The Set Pieces, which is at www.thesetpieces.com. As always, our final and greatest thanks go out to you for using your time to listen to us. We really appreciate your continued support. So, until next time, all the best.
Life with Brian, talking films or music. Life with Brian, talking TV and food. Life with Brian, talking trivia and exercise. Life with Brian, it's different every episode. Life with Brian, talking politics and football. Life with Brian, it's different every episode. Life with Brian, life with Brian.
Social Podcast Network.